This is Jay Sekulow, a disaster brewing in Iraq, the result of the Obama Doctrine.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Iraq is on the brink, another major city falling into the hands of Islamic insurgents, al-Qaeda militants storming across northern Iraq. First, al-Qaeda took the second largest city in Iraq, that's Mosul. Then they took Tikrit, Saddam Hussein's former hometown, and now we wonder what is next.
The situation in Iraq is spiraling out of control. The country's government and military is literally disintegrating before our eyes. Iraq's leaders say they are determined to regain control of the country, but how, Bill, they will do that is a very, very big question. Al-Qaeda-inspired militants now control three major cities, Mosul, Tikrit, and Fallujah, and the fighters of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria are now only about 100 miles outside Baghdad, the capital.
Is the U.S. proposing to do anything, Connor?
Well, from what we're hearing, the Iraqi government has put in requests for military and assistance from the United States. So far, what we're hearing is the White House has rebuffed these requests. The Obama administration said yesterday that the Pentagon would send military assistance to the Iraqis, but they're not going to send any type of airstrikes from what we're hearing. The White House said yesterday that the Iraqi leaders need to take security responsibility for the entire situation there.
I said we'd refocus on the people who actually attacked us on 9/11. And today, Al-Qaeda's on the run and Osama bin Laden is dead.
You know, sometime we're going to hold people responsible for their policies as well as their words. To declare that a conflict is over does not mean that it necessarily is over.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, folks, it's hard to decide where to begin here. You've got an unbelievable situation brewing in Iraq, where Baghdad is going to be under attack. It looks like they're 40 miles from Baghdad. The group that's leading the charge, you know, when the president made that al-Qaeda's on the run, well, there's another group on the run. This particular group is called the Islamic State in Iraq, and they are more dangerous, according to the FBI and others, than al-Qaeda itself. So this is an unbelievable turn of events. But again, when the president left Iraq with no status of force agreement, which I'll have David explain in a moment and Skip, this is what you get. And the tragedy is we've had a lot of men and women spill their blood and serve over there to try to bring some stability to this region of the world, which seems to be impossible to get stable. David, you're the most recent one on this broadcast that's been there. This has got to really be troubling for you as someone who served in Iraq with the United States Army.
It's unbelievable. Barack Obama was handed a war won. In 2009, when he took office, al-Qaeda in Iraq was defeated. The government of Iraq had control over the country. Minimal American forces were needed to maintain that control. And he threw it all away. And now there is unbelievable suffering and death in Iraq, and groups worse than al-Qaeda control a huge chunk in the middle of the Middle East.
Skip, no status of force agreement. You served as a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army. How dangerous was that move by it? This is the new Obama doctrine, by the way.
It was idiotic because with a status of forces agreement, we could have maintained forces there. They could be available now. They could be responding now. But without one, we will not leave forces because then they would be subject to the vagaries of the local law, some of which are really bizarre.
And Jordan, very quickly, so the United States was requested some assistance, and what did we do?
Well, you've got, actually, this is from the Daily Beast, reporting from a senior U.S. military official saying that, you know, what we really what we have responded to is that there's no plans for us to participate. And it goes a step further, is that we didn't give them a hard no. It was a thanks for your interest, and we will talk about it more.
That's fine if you're calling the Obamacare hotline. You know, I mean, this is a war going on. Folks, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me tell you something else on this. We're going to play when we come back from the break. How about this? The State Department says, well, if Hamas lobs rockets over to Israel, we're still going to give them money. How do you feel about that one, folks? 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, we'll be talking, of course, about the prisoner swap as well. By the way, we've got a petition that is growing rapidly at ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. Over 75,000 of you have said no taxpayer dollars to terrorist groups. Period. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to that petition. More when we come back.
The Obama administration is on the wrong path. The president is taking disturbing action, making deals with terrorists at the expense of our troops and our ally Israel. The U.S. just released five of the most dangerous jihadists in the world in exchange for one of our troops. At the same time, the Obama administration is backing the newly formed unity government of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, backing and funding jihadists that want to destroy Israel, our most important ally in the region. President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Well, the Obama doctrine is failing in the Middle East as it's failed elsewhere, but it's really a disaster in the Middle East. And I'm going to play something for you now, folks, in a moment that's going to shock your conscience, especially if you're a supporter of Israel. This is a news reporter in a conversation with the State Department spokesperson. Let's play number 10.
But the way you cast it, they can send an unlimited number of rockets in, and they can still be supportive of this unity government, and you'll still give the unity government and the PA money.
Well, we made a decision as the United States government that our assistance to the Palestinian Authority is important to the United States, and so that's why it is continuing. And they did have met the criteria, including the quartet principles that have been laid out. We will be judging this government by its actions, and we will address issues as needed moving forward. But nothing has changed at this point in time.
So understand what they're saying. Rockets coming in from Hamas to Israel will not violate any kind of agreements where the United States, our taxpayer dollars, will be used to fund Hamas because they're in a unity government. Now, it didn't stop there. Matt Lee from the Associated Press, press further. Listen to 11.
So how many more rocket attacks do there have to be before you decide that it's that we made a mistake?
Well, again, Matt, you're familiar, I'm sure, with what the criteria are for delivering assistance. While we're very concerned about these rocket attacks, and we feel President Abbas needs to do everything possible to prevent them, we understand that his ability to do that is severely limited.
You know, that is so ridiculous because he, severely limited. Number one, let me be specific here. President Abbas, Abu Mazen, has entered into a unity agreement with the government that's going to be controlled in part by Hamas. So Hamas's partner. That should have been enough to say, you know what, we're not giving him any more money. Number two, Jordan and I have personal experience with those rockets coming in from Hamas into Israel. And Jordan, they aim for civilian locations. You were within a few yards of a hit.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they're targeting towns. They're not targeting
right,
military
civilians.
Installations. I mean, these are crude rockets, and Hamas has actually been able since that time period to acquire much more advanced rockets. So there's enough aiming involved that they know whether they're aiming against military targets, so tanks or troops or even military installations, versus cities, towns. And so what they're doing is aiming at cities and towns, not the military installation. The military installations are prepared for attacks like that. A school, a village, a town square is not. And so the idea that these rockets are about terror, I mean, they're the definition of what terror is.
Right.
Is it so much the outcome? Well, people sometimes are killed. They're certainly maimed. But it is more about those sirens going off. And every time they can get one of those sirens to go off, it sends that message of terror that we are here and we are going to terrorize you.
All right, folks,
and your
we're
children.
Giving you firsthand experience here. I mean, we had David talking about what's going on in Iraq. Skip and Jordan and I have been in Israel numerous times during some of these incidents. Skip, you've studied some of this over there within the system. We've lectured on a lot of this in Israel, actually, for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Let's talk about the reality of what, when you've got Hamas doing this and the White House saying it doesn't matter, we're going to still give them money. How does that fly?
It doesn't fly at all, because we have to keep in mind this. Those who are firing these things are committing war crimes. They are unlawful combatants. They are firing at civilians. That violates the law of war. That implicates the recognized government, the Fatah yep. government. So once they join together, that makes them complicit in war crimes. We have an administration now that prefers Arab terrorists to Israeli Democrats and is willing to side with the terrorists against the only democratic regime, the only democratic country in the Middle East. And it is unconscionable. I can't understand how any United States government would be put in a position like this.
Well, we're in that position. And Than, it goes to you now. On the government affairs side of this, what is Congress going to do? Or is this going to be another one of these, well, what do we do? Nothing.
Well, they certainly better, because, listen, this question of U.S. funding is not the Obama administration's to decide. Congress passed the Patriot Act, which prohibits this type of funding. And, Jay, if that wasn't enough, they followed up in 2006 by specifically speaking to this situation of a unity government, of a power sharing that involved Hamas, and they told the administration, you may not provide funding in that situation. So, Jay, what Congress needs to do in this year's funding bills, they need to specifically strip those funds out altogether.
All right. So far, they haven't. I'm going to play I want to play this again, and then I'm going to ask you to take direct action here, folks. Listen to number 11. This is the AP reporter talking about the attacks coming into Israel from Hamas right now, when your taxpayer dollars are paying for this.
Well, how many more rocket attacks do there have to be before you decide that it's that we made a mistake?
Well, again, Matt, you're familiar, I'm sure, with what the criteria are for delivering assistance. While we're very concerned about these rocket attacks, and we feel President Abbas needs to do everything possible to prevent them, we understand that his ability to do that is severely limited.
It's not severely limited. There's a law, David, that is very specific, and it says no money to terrorists, and Hamas is a terrorist organization.
You know what? It's a crime.
Yep.
It's a crime. There are people in jail now for providing material support to a designated foreign terrorist organization. And that's how serious this is. The administration right now is talking about millions upon millions of dollars in taxpayer funds to go to a unity government that includes a designated terrorist organization where they're not going to even ask them to stop firing rockets.
You know, Jordan, you know, like I said, you and I have been there. But here's the reality. I mean, this is another step of this. We're not talking about $50 here. We're talking about, over a couple of years, billions.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is a situation where you are now admitting to funding groups which are carrying out acts of terror. And you're not talking about, again, just aid to schools or aid to food or those kind of situations. But you're talking about significant aid. I mean, we are responsible for the training of the security forces.
Yep.
We are responsible for almost all of their non-lethal equipment. And this opens the floodgates to others who are willing to provide that lethal equipment, because if the United States can fund these tunes of these hundreds of millions of dollars, certainly they can make the legal argument they're not violating any U.S. law by going the next step and providing more of those kind of materials, and of course what they call deadly force type weapons and defense systems.
All right, folks, here's what we're going to do. We've got a petition up. It's really direct. 75,000 of you have signed it. It says we're not going to put Israel in this situation. We're not going to put our own security in this situation. And we're not going to fund groups that are sending missiles over to civilian areas in Israel. And that's Hamas. And we're going to tell the president, stop. You know, our friend David points out something here. Our friend Andy McCarthy has been making this case for impeachment of the president. Now, I'm not there. But I will tell you this. You keep doing this, and it looks like you have grounds for it. Okay? Because you can't just keep flouting the law to suit your own agenda. If you agree with me on this, you go to ACLJ.org right now, or you call 1-877-989-2255 and you say, I have had enough. Let's get Andy McCarthy on the air tomorrow or next week. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. This sends a message to the administration. First of all, you know, we've got a biblical command to stand with Israel. We know that. I'll bless those that bless thee, curse those that curse thee. Well, we've got a group that's sending over rockets, and it's, folks, it's like we're paying for it. It's like we're saying, here's money, use the money, buy rockets, shoot them at civilians. If you want to say enough of this, stop it. And you think the president should be held accountable, ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255, ACLJ.org, or 877-989-2255. Jordan, let's take a call here.
Yep, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Abe in Kentucky on line one. Abe, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Abe.
Howdy. President Barack Obama is not above the law, and I see a pattern forming, a pattern of abuse, deceit, and neglect. President Obama has chosen to stray down a very dangerous and reckless path.
Well, we're seeing that right now in Iraq. I mean, that was that's a foreign policy failure. I mean, David, if you look at that, that's a foreign policy failure. But when you look at these other issues, there's laws that are being thwarted here as if they don't exist.
Oh, exactly. I mean,
the policy is one thing, which is horrible. But the ignoring the law, whether it's the Gitmo detainees or giving money to the terrorists, it's unreal. And we're dealing with the terrorists now.
Oh, absolutely. We're giving the terrorists victories. We're giving the terrorists money. And then in Iraq, I mean, think about the magnitude of the victory the terrorists are on the verge of. And what's such a shame? And I want our listeners to understand this. Had we been able to reach a status of forces agreement with Iraq, which the administration...
go ahead. Finish up because we're getting up. We're going to explain more of that when we come back.
Which the administration did not try to do. It never would have gotten to this point.
Period.
Never would have gotten close to this point.
Skip, explain quickly the status of force agreement, what it would be.
A status of forces agreement is an agreement between the host government and the United States, which governs how our forces will be treated within their country, who, what courts they go before, who has jurisdiction over them, and so forth. And it's not all that hard to do. Every country in which we have forces, there's a status of forces agreement, and it's very easy to put those together. We do it routinely. The fact that this administration failed in Iraq is a major foreign policy blunder.
All right, and no doubt about it. Folks, here's the, you know, we're having people wanting to impeach the president. You have people that are saying the president's violating the law. We want to hear what you say. If you think enough is enough with the president's actions here, you know, you could voice your concern right now at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Here's the challenge. Are you concerned about the president's actions and ignoring the law? Policies are bad and ignoring the law. And you think you should be held accountable? ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or ACLJ.org. Take direct action now. Follow us on Facebook. Share us and like us on Facebook as well. And follow Jordan on Twitter. Twitter.com/JordanSekulow. But folks, take action now. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The Obama administration is on the wrong path. The president is taking disturbing action, making deals with terrorists at the expense of our troops and our ally Israel. The U.S. just released five of the most dangerous jihadists in the world in exchange for one of our troops. At the same time, the Obama administration is backing the newly formed unity government of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, backing and funding jihadists that want to destroy Israel, our most important ally in the region. President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. So the Deputy National Security Advisor in 2012, talking about Iraq, had this to say.
But what's beyond debate, and what news coverage of Iraq, in my judgment, too often fails to acknowledge, is that Iraq today is less violent, more democratic, and more prosperous, and the United States more deeply engaged there than at any time in recent history.
You know, okay, well, Mr. Deputy National Security Advisor Anthony Blinken, you're wrong, obviously. The statement is outrageous because even when we were pulling out, we knew this could happen. But the president was so convinced he wanted to pull out that he left us there, and basically the end result is everything that our soldiers fought for is falling apart. Now, this is a very difficult region of the world to begin with, so I don't understand why in the world we didn't have a status of force agreement. Never made sense to me other than the president wanted out, David.
Oh, absolutely. When I was there in late, and I arrived there in 07, left in late 08. In late 08, the Iraqi forces were able to fight and to defeat al-Qaeda, but they did it with American advisors and with American air support. When we ended that SOFA, when we pulled out completely, they lost any advisors and they lost all their air support. So we essentially took the Iraqi army and stripped it of its main, its principal instrument of power.
Yeah, so you got Iraq falling apart, and then Jordan, we've got the situation right now where Hamas, we're ready to write them a check for $250 million right now. The administration is saying, yes, that check should go forward.
Yeah, and that is what is so dangerous here about this foreign policy, is if this will somehow stabilize a region which is falling into just more and more chaos every minute, every second of the day, this is becoming another yet move by Islamists. I mean, we're talking about in Iraq a group more radical than al-Qaeda. You know, some call them al-Qaeda affiliates, but they've actually had some issues with al-Qaeda because they are so brutal, and the way that they impose Sharia law is so brutal that even al-Qaeda has disagreed with some of the tactics from this group, ISIS, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. And so, again, this is all happening under the Obama watch. It is all happening. And, you know, there was an interesting piece out today. And what is President Obama doing today? He's speaking to a group of Native Americans about programs and development there. I mean, it's really burying your head in the sand when you are going about business as usual. Those would be fine things to do and a normal thing for a president to be doing if the world wasn't falling apart on your watch.
Yeah, and the world is falling apart on his watch. And by the way, ISIL, this Islamic State in Iraq that Jordan's referencing to, this is according to Reuters. This is Reuters. The leader has proved more ruthless in eliminating opponents and showing hesitation in turning against former allies to further his ambition of creating an Islamic State. He will turn on the al-Qaeda ones because they're not radical enough. So this is what we've got running now, trying to make a move in Iraq that is unbelievable. Interesting also, al-Qaeda leader, this is from the Daily Caller, Ayman al-Zawahiri, called on ISIS, that's the group, last month to leave Syria and return to Iraq, which is happening, by the way. So you've got a whole situation here where the Middle East is absolutely imploding. I'm preparing right now for a major program Skip and I are both engaged in at Oxford University this summer. Believe me, we'll be the only ones defending Israel's right to exist at this program. But, you know, Skip, we're reading all this material right now, thousands of pages. Do you realize, as of this morning, it's all irrelevant? Everything these guys have written about what's going to happen in the Arab world and what's going to happen in the Arab Spring and the Muslim world, it's coming out exactly the opposite of what all these experts said.
Oh, I know. We're reading
exactly.
Some interesting books because they're arguing exactly what's not happening. These are the experts. They're saying that they're holding out their credentials as they understand what's going on. You know, now we have a situation where al-Qaeda we have to view as more moderate than the ISIS folks. It's sort of like when Fatah at one time was a terrorist group, and now we call them moderates because of Hamas. So we have these very radical groups that, relatively speaking, we have to view as moderates. But the people who are really pushing what's going on in the Middle East right now, there are no moderates. These are just degrees of radicalism, and we have to recognize that in order to deal with it effectively. And this administration has its head so buried in the sand, it can't recognize any of this. And as David said, when they're out there talking to American Native Americans, instead of handling the problems of the world that only the United States can handle, this is a major blunder. This administration is asleep at the wheel. And where it's going to go, it's going to spin out of control, and we're going to be the ones left holding the bag on
this. Let me tell you what we're doing here at the ACLJ, because we don't just talk about the situation, we respond. Number one, I asked David French to author a paper that we'll publish in the days ahead, which is basically our position with what should be happening in Iraq. That's number one. Number two, on the greater Middle East and the situation with Israel and the Palestinian Authority and this whole mess, Skip and I are participating in this major program at Oxford University. We're preparing for it like it was a Supreme Court case. All the experts are being proven wrong by the moment, so we're working on. We will have published papers coming out of that. We're going to get our position out there. And, folks, we have offices in the region. We're in the region. You know, Jordan, that's important to reiterate to people. We are in the region with lawyers, government affairs people in the Middle East on a regular basis. You just returned from Qatar.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, which has now been in the news because of the five release that we have even spoken about much today, the five release Taliban top commanders who, again, are now in Qatar and these places. People have to know we do this work around the world, and we do a lot of national security work as well in our office in Israel, ACLJ Jerusalem. But then for everyone out there to know, I mean, these issues of persecution and, you know, the next step, these groups are so brutal. They're brutalizing even those maybe from their own faith group. But when they come in, the first thing they do is impose a very strict kind of Islamic law, and that affects the Christians as well. The Christians in Iraq right now, who have already been suffering, are now facing a suffering that even Al-Qaeda would not impose.
No,
to think about the brutality there, that the top Al-Qaeda command would think that what is happening to the Iraqi Christians, what they're experiencing at this moment, is too brutal.
I actually have been getting emails from Canon Andrew White. He's the vicar of Baghdad with the Church of England, a great guy, loves the Lord, and serves in Iraq. And he said in an email today, worst he's ever seen it, even during the conflict. Worse than he's seen it, David. I know you were there. This has got to be heartbreaking to you. Worse than during the conflict.
Well, let's put it
the
bluntly.
Obama doctrine.
Mosul, when ISIS came in, 500,000 Iraqis fled that city. That didn't happen in the worst days and the surge. 500,000 Iraqis fled, and they were right and they were smart to flee because ISIS is, as we've been saying again and again, more brutal than Al-Qaeda.
All right, folks, we're taking your calls. Hang in there, 1-800-684-3110. I want to go to Evelyn really quickly in Montana. Evelyn, go ahead, please. You're on the air, line 6.
Hi, I was just wondering how Pastor Saeed is doing, if you could kind of give
Jordan, can you give a quick update there as we're getting ready to hit a hard break here?
Yeah, we posted a full update yesterday on ACLJ.org. One of President Obama's top religious advisors, spiritual advisors, Pastor Joel Hunter, was actually in Iran, brought up the idea of clemency for Saeed. There weren't a lot of details there. It was not coordinated by us, the ACLJ, but we're hoping it is a renewed sign that since Saeed's re-imprisonment a couple of weeks ago, that the State Department has a renewed interest while they are doing ongoing these negotiations with Iran on getting Saeed released, and that there's a renewed interest there from our government, which we need their help.
Yep, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break, 800-684-3110. Randy Forbes, Congressman, is going to join us on the Gitmo transfer. He was very aggressive on this yesterday. But we need everybody to sign that petition so we don't send $250 million of our money to Hamas this week. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. If you think the president should be held accountable on this, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with your calls in a moment. Support the work of the ACLJ, by the way, at ACLJ.org.
President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Well, we got to hold our head up, even though the nightmare that's developing in Iraq. I want to get everybody up to date on this. And so it's the Islamic State in Iraq is the name of the group. They are more dangerous than Al-Qaeda, and they are marching towards Baghdad. The implications of this are serious. Stan Bennett had to step out of the office for a meeting. Jordan, when you look at this right now in Washington, with everything going on, Gitmo, money going to Hamas, people are calling us and asking us, what can we do to stop this? The Obama doctrine on the Middle East is an absolute fiasco.
Well, that's right. I mean, this I put all this. This all is I'll put on the president. These are decisions he can make while being president of the United States as commander in chief. The decision that Congress has made. You know, the idea that this administration doesn't even care what Congress has done. They decide to follow the law only when it fits their interests. But these bigger foreign policy issues and the idea that Iraq has been, which is surprising to a sense because there was the idea they wanted us out, is now asking for us to come back and launch serious airstrikes because, listen, these militants, they're going to be marching right towards Baghdad.
Yeah.
And with all things considered and with all the reporting that's on the ground, the Iraqi military cannot stop this. And so asking the U.S. to re-engage in Iraq, you, of course, have got the situation in Afghanistan where the Taliban is back.
Right.
You know, it's this idea of it's not predictable. So if you're a militant and you're an anti-American militant, an Islamic radical moving through Iraq right now, you look at the U.S. say, okay, they kind of got involved in Libya. That was the lead from behind. So we don't really have to fear them too much getting involved here.
All right. So, David, I agree with everything Jordan said. If Baghdad falls, which would be hard to believe, but if it did, what does this mean for the region? What does it mean for us?
Well, you know, I think if Baghdad falls, you have a first order national security crisis at that point, because you would have worse than Al-Qaeda in control of the bulk of Iraq. The bulk of Iraq's population and economic strength would be in the hands of Al-Qaeda. That's far worse than Al-Qaeda. That's far worse than Al-Qaeda controlling a country like Afghanistan, which had no economic power to speak of. And look what they were able to do from that kind of base. So, you know, to say that this just doesn't impact us or doesn't involve us, that is precisely wrong.
All right, Skip, your sense, if Iraq gets in the hands of these radicals, what does it mean?
Well, first of all, we have to recognize that the American embassy in Baghdad is the largest American embassy in the Middle East. And therefore, somebody's got to be planning on getting those people to safety.
Yep.
But beyond that, this is a Sunni group, and there's a large Shia population in Iraq, and those are supported by Iran. And this could open a region-wide conflagration between the Sunni and the Shia in the Middle East, which could destabilize all those kingdoms along the Persian Gulf. And this could be one real mess in the Middle East. And it's because the United States did not nip it in the bud when we could have. And this administration did not take the action strategically that they should have in a timely manner.
I'm going to say something here. You know, when you don't believe in American exceptionalism, this is what happens. I'm not embarrassed to say we're a unique country. I'm not embarrassed to say that we're the best shining example of freedom and liberty on the face of the earth. I thank God for that. But when you're afraid to say that you're an American and it's American exceptionalism, you know what? This is what you end up with. A fiasco of biblical proportions, witnessing it right before our eyes today. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So if you want to talk to us on air, you give us a call on any of these topics. By the way, I'm going to be joined by Congressman Randy Forbes. We're going to be discussing the Gitmo transfer. He was very upset about that yesterday. I'm going to play his soundbite when we get back before we have him on. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Sign that petition, folks. We don't want our money going to these terrorist groups and letting the president get away with this. Go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Jordan, you're going to be following this up on Twitter too all day, right?
Absolutely.
All right, twitter.com/JordanSekulow. We've got our lawyers from around the globe engaged on this, folks. We're fighting back, but we need your help. ACLJ.org. Support the work of the ACLJ when you go there online with an online gift. And if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110.
The
The Obama administration is on the wrong path. The president is taking disturbing action, making deals with terrorists at the expense of our troops and our ally Israel. The U.S. just released five of the most dangerous jihadists in the world in exchange for one of our troops. At the same time, the Obama administration is backing the newly formed unity government of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, backing and funding jihadists that want to destroy Israel, our most important ally in the region. President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I think there's trouble brewing right there in the Middle East. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. 800-684-3110. Let's go to Jordan. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's take Aaron's call out of Ohio.
Yeah, Aaron calling in from Ohio, line one. Aaron, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Aaron.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate what you guys do.
Sure.
Support you guys.
Thanks.
I'm a probation officer, and, you know, I was thinking, you know, trying to hold these kids accountable to abide by the law, but we have a president who doesn't regard the law. What's that? What kind of message does that send to our youth?
Well, I think this. Look, I think you bring up a really valid point. I mean, the president knowingly violated the law. He thought it was unconstitutional, so he said that. But he doesn't get to make that determination. You know, the signing statement, David, doesn't void the law. This is on the five Gitmo detainee transfers. You notice how that's, by the way, now that all this other stuff's going in the news, they're not even. The White House is not denying the fact that these five will return to the battle. Do we have that bite? Let's get it. But that is, I mean, you look at that, and Aaron brings up a huge point. What message are we sending out with this? That the law is there, it's like an advisory opinion, not the law.
Well, the message he's sending is he's going to do whatever he wants. And that's the wrong message to send to any American, not just youth. And you know what? There is a constitutional process. If the president thinks a law is unconstitutional, he vetoes the law. And if you override the veto, then go to court.
Well, that's exactly right. We're being joined right now. Let me play for you a soundbite from our friend Congressman Randy Forbes yesterday, then I'm going to get him right on the phone here. Go ahead.
Did you make an assessment of how many American lives may be put at risk if they have to be recaptured?
No.
Okay.
There's risk that we have to our country, threats our country every day, everywhere. And the other point I would make on this, we determined that there was a substantial mitigation of risk for this country, for our interests, for our citizens and our service members when we made this decision.
It just flies in the face of all the other evidence we have. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Congressman Forbes, what a great job you did yesterday. Congressman, thanks for being with us today.
Jay, it's always great to be with you.
All right, your reaction now, of course, we've got Iraq falling apart as we're on the air live right now, but then the situation yesterday with the Gitmo detainees and the Secretary of Defense statements, I take it did not give you assurance any better feeling about what happened here than you had before.
Jay, I don't think they give anybody assurances to think that we're going to release. And Jay, you got to put this in perspective. This is the equivalent of releasing the Deputy Secretary of Defense, the Deputy Secretary of the Interior, the Deputy Secretary of Intelligence, a governor, and a commander. All of that, and then the secretary is saying we're going to put American lives at risk again to go recapture them. It makes no sense.
So the president does this knowing full well that there's a law that he knows about that required congressional. It wasn't even consent. It was notification and certification. And their answer to that now is, well, we believe it's unconstitutional, so we didn't follow through with that. Yet 90 people in the administration were aware of this. How does that make you and your colleagues feel? I know there's bipartisan opposition to what the president's done here.
Well, it's not just about Congress, Jay. One of the things that concern us, you know as good as anybody, that we don't have enough police officers, we don't have enough judges, we don't have enough jails to make everybody comply with the laws of this country. We rely on the collective will of the American people to obey the law. When the President of the United States just says, I don't have to obey the law, and you know, this is not the first time, it's a series of things they do that just ignore the law, it reduces that collective will to obey the law, and we stop being a nation of law. That's a dangerous precedent for us as Americans to begin walking down.
Congressman, we've heard the last couple of weeks from about 250,000 people really upset about this whole Gitmo transfer situation. But they're asking the same question. What can we now do about it? I mean, there's this real sense of frustration here that's palpable.
Well, one of the things that we're going to have to do is try to retake the Senate so that we can control the purse strings and stop this. Jay, you need to put all this, again, on a backdrop of what's happening on your TVs, your radios today as you look around the world. Number one concern for the Russians, we're getting our missile defense systems out of Europe. They just did that for them. Number one concern for the Afghan insurgents, knowing a time certain to pull out, he gave them that. Number one thing the Iranians wanted to get the sanctions off, he gave them that. Number one thing the Chinese wanted, reduce our naval presence in the Asia Pacific, we're doing that. Number one thing the North Koreans want is to get rid of the landmines along the DMZ. And I'm just going to tell you, you haven't heard this yet, next 2 weeks, they're going to have a major push for us to sign a treaty that requires us to take all those landmines up against all of the recommendations of our military experts. That's what they're doing around the globe, and that's what's antagonizing so many American people.
Congressman, it feels like, though, that the president can do this with impunity. I mean, that there's just zero accountability here. I understand, you know, get the Senate under control and action be taken. The question really is, you know, the president said he was going to use his phone and his pen, and he's living by it. I mean, that's what he's doing. And I really want to say this. I really appreciated your comments yesterday on this with Secretary of Defense Hagel. A lawyer here, it was really well done. But there is a huge frustration level right now with the American people and figure out what can we do to stop this. And you got Iraq imploding in the middle of it.
And, Jay, the key word you had there was what we can do. You know, the way this nation's set up, as you know, with the Constitution and how it is, we can shed the light on it. We can do all the things we can do to bring it to the American people. But the real control of that Constitution lies in all of our hands at the voting box. You know, and that's what we're going to have to start doing if we want to reclaim this nation as a rule of law instead of just the rule of government.
Congressman, I know you and I both share this. I have great hope for us. I believe in American exceptionalism. I believe that we're a unique country in that regard. The concern level, though, is palpable. I'm looking at the situation in Iraq right now. In my studio was with me is a major from the United States Army, Javicate General, served in Iraq. I mean, I got a lieutenant colonel on our studios in Virginia Beach right now on the air with us. They are really concerned about this. A lot of people have, you know, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in Iraq. And the president, this leading from behind, we're paying the price for this.
Jay, we are. And the worst part of it is right now, the reality is that we are having staff people, and I emphasize staff people, from the White House that are dictating to generals and admirals and assistant secretaries in the Pentagon what we need to be doing instead of those guys being able to step up and make those decisions. And what you are seeing, Jay, and the frustration that you're having, let me tell you, when you get the classified briefings about what's really going on, how bad it is, that takes you from frustration to absolute fear of where we're putting this country. And we've got to turn this around.
You know, I look at the situation, and the hope is we've got people like you that are standing for us, Congressman, and we're fighting back, and we're doing everything we can. I look at the situation, though, in the Middle East, and I was explaining this earlier. A number of us are participating in a program at Oxford this summer dealing with this. We'll be presenting our position papers in favor of a vision of the Middle East, which now is contrary to certainly the administration's, which would be partnering with Israel. But how about this idea that right now we got a unity government between Hamas and Fatah and Hamas lobbing rockets into Israel even today, and the administration says, well, that will not void us giving that government money. I mean, you do control the purse strings, and we've got to start exercising that.
Well, we have to do that. We have to exercise purse strings. We've got to make sure that this administration cannot be enforcing treaties that have not been ratified. We've got to make sure that they are not undercutting some of our great allies, obviously Israel being one of the great ones that we have in the Middle East. And this administration, as you know, has basically put a thumbed up their nose at our allies. But it's not just Israel. It's across the globe.
Oh, I know.
You have to ask yourself, Jay, why would you want to be an ally of the United States today? Because are they going to stand with you? They're going to be a part of the future of where we're going to be. And the worst part about what this president has done, I think, is he's making the United States the greatest military power in the world, the greatest nation in the world, becoming irrelevant on the world scene.
Which
and we've
incredible.
Got to turn that around.
Absolutely incredible. Congressman, I know you're in the middle of votes. Thank you for taking time to be with us today, coming from the House there. I appreciate it so much, Congressman Randy Forbes. Great work. I appreciate your efforts yesterday, too, Congressman. First class. Well done. Thank you. Well, folks, there you have it. We're not, as I said, we're just not talking about it. We're doing it. That was Congressman Randy Forbes right there in the middle of it. The situation, though, in Israel, in the Middle East, I'm telling you, folks, it's a powder keg. The president's made some comments. We're going to go look at some of those during the break, see if there are any that we need to be playing for you when we come back from the break. But, Jordan, when you're listening, Congressman, here, this is an outrage situation that is very dangerous. We're in a really dangerous spot right now, right today.
Yeah, the idea that the administration, I mean, the officials like Secretary of Defense Hagel, when testifying before Congressman Forbes, are so flippant about the idea that, yes, this can put people in danger, and yes, this can cause others to be killed. Others, you know, this idea that we are going to encourage the kidnapping of Americans abroad because now we have a new policy. I mean, it's pretty revolutionizing the U.S. foreign policy that we will negotiate and even bow down to terrorist demands when we have had a very hardline position that say what you will, threaten what you threat, we're not going to negotiate with you. And that sent a message that was very strong and tough. Now we've sent a very different message.
President of the United States, follow-up policy in the Middle East, let me tell you what it gets, an F. Failure. Absolute failure. You know, I got kids, I got grandkids. You think about what's the world they're going to be living in. We're going to fight back, folks. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, I encourage you to get in this conversation. 800-684-3110. We're saying no to that money going to Hamas. Jordan's going to give you the number right now to call in or ACLJ.org. But, Jordan, let's get people to call in on that petition as well.
Yep, 877-989-2255 is the toll-free number you call. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org. But if you want to pick up that phone, it's toll free. 877-989-2255. Let the midnight
special. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
The Obama administration is on the wrong path. The president is taking disturbing action, making deals with terrorists at the expense of our troops and our ally Israel. The U.S. just released five of the most dangerous jihadists in the world in exchange for one of our troops. At the same time, the Obama administration is backing the newly formed unity government of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, backing and funding jihadists that want to destroy Israel, our most important ally in the region. President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. David French pointed out something during the break here, put up in our chat. But, you know, we've got three studios connected right now. I want you to understand the scope of what was going on here at the ACLJ. This is where I wish we could have TV cameras in here all the time. We're monitoring the news live as we're broadcasting to you right now. We've got our studios in Virginia Beach, Virginia, on the campus of Regent University, where Skip's at. Jordan's in our campus, our offices in Washington, D.C., across from the Supreme Court and the Capitol. And we're in our media center. And we're all reviewing data as it's coming in. But, David, you pointed out something here. And by the way, we'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. I know a number of you have been holding, but we were able to get Randy Forbes, Congressman Forbes. I want to do it. ISIS, the Islamic State in Syria, in Iraq, this is their whole move. Obviously, it's considered worse than al-Qaeda. You're pointing out that their control, they are now the world's richest terrorist group. Listen to this, folks.
Yeah, one of the things that they did when they took Mosul is they went straight to the banks in Mosul and looted the banks of $425 million and an unknown amount of the nation of Iraq's gold reserves.
I can't even imagine. You're talking billions of dollars.
What you're talking about is a terrorist group more savage than al-Qaeda, if you can believe that, now has more wealth than al-Qaeda ever had. And no one can tell me that's not a threat to our national security.
Well, the president just went live, folks. We're going to play what he said, and then we're going to analyze it. Let's take a listen.
So my team is working around the clock to identify how we can provide the most effective assistance to them. I don't rule out anything because we do have a stake in making sure that these jihadists are not getting a permanent foothold in either Iraq or Syria, for that matter.
I have to catch my breath. The president of the United States actually said the word jihadist. You mean we're in a war with jihadists, Mr. President? Really? Terrorism was just a state of mind, according to your national security advisor. Remember that? There's no such thing as terrorism. Terrorism is a state of mind. Now we've got radical jihadists. So, Skip, let me throw this one to you. And, folks, I'm going to get to your calls. The president's saying nothing left on the table, off the table. But this would never have been a problem if we did what you always do when these kind of conflicts wind down.
Absolutely. This is like shutting the barn door after the horse gets out. It does no good. We're going to have to sit there and try to, if we had to go back in, there's a whole measure of things having to get forces over there forth. If we had had the status of forces agreement, the forces would be in existence on the ground. They would be deployed. This would never have happened. And we wouldn't be talking about this at all. This would be just an asterisk in history. Now it's a major event because this administration is incapable of seeing the future and forecasting what might occur and taking measures before it does. It's so reactive. It's never proactive. And we are now paying the price for an administration that it seems to be made up of amateurs who do not know what they're doing.
All right, Jordan, let's go to the phones here. 800-684-3110 is the number if you want to talk to us on air. Go ahead, Jordan. Who's next?
Mike in San Diego, California, line 3. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, thank you, guys. Jordan and Jay, God bless you.
Thanks.
Guys. And Skip and David, thank you guys for your service to our country. What really scares me about this, I really do think something bad is going to happen in Baghdad. But how about the vacuum that's going to leave for Iran to further their nuclear capabilities now that we're going to be having this problem in Iraq? I mean, I think it's going to cause greater danger for the nation of Israel.
Oh,
and
no doubt.
Its presidency. I mean, we got to do something to get this guy out. And Congress is so impotent. I'm real frustrated. Sorry, guys.
Listen, I had Congressman Forbes on. You heard me. He's a good friend, and he's done a yeoman's job. He's done a great job. But I told him, I said, the American people are really frustrated. And, Jordan, that frustration level is, the Congress said, well, there's only so much we can do. Part of that's correct. I mean, it's checks
yeah,
and balance
right.
government.
I mean, listen, we got a U.S. Senate that's in President Obama's pocket. So until that potentially changes after the November elections and then in January when it's sworn in, a new Congress is sworn in. But, these are not issues that have that kind of time to wait on. The situation in Iraq, you can't wait through the election cycle. So the idea that Congress has the power of the purse only goes so far as Congress is willing to exercise that power. The House of Representatives has been willing to do that. But all these efforts have died in the U.S. Senate, and that is because ultimately, when it comes to these issues of the most importance to the U.S. national security, the president's allies control the United States Senate, and so they can block those moves.
I tell you, it's an unbelievable situation. Let's go right back to the phones. Marcus is calling from California on line two. Hi, Marcus.
Hi. Where is the accountability for Obama with all the things, not just one or two, but right, all the things that he's done?
Well, David, I'm going to run this one to you because this is obviously this is the constant call we're getting over the last 2 weeks of the frustration level with the American people. This is where elections, by the way, have consequences, folks. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. But the frustration level here is really high.
Oh, absolutely. Incredibly high. But, you know, there even in the even if it feels like we can't get stuff done, there has been instance after instance after instance when our folks speak up,
yep,
where we make progress. I mean, think about this. We took a situation with Pastor Saeed where the State Department, where the Obama administration was expressing zero interest in his plight, none, and took it to where the President of the United States made a personal appeal on his behalf to the President of Iran. So you can make progress. And even in that President Obama's most recent statement, it's almost like he suddenly woke up, oh, I might need to do something now.
Yep.
Because I think he saw staring in the face another situation like in Saigon with the helicopters on the roof and knew what a disaster that would be for him and his legacy.
Well, this legacy is going to be a disaster. But let me ask you this, Jordan, with just 2 minutes here. I don't want to forget also the plight. We mentioned Saeed Abedini. Let's not forget the plight of Miriam Ibrahim and her two American children. What's the latest there? I know there were some moves in Congress.
Yeah, there's moves in Congress on that and trying to get the administration to do more, specifically with the children and recognizing their U.S. citizenship. But her appeal right now, the reports out, she's got an appeal. If that appeal was for any way denied or tossed, she could face those 100 lashes, the flogging, and that number of lashes can kill you alone. So that could happen at any moment. There's no reprieve from that because of that she just gave birth. There is a reprieve for the execution by hanging, but she could receive those 100 lashes at any moment if the appeals court were to throw out her appeal.
So we are aggressively working on this. All right, so let me go to Skip and David. Last comments here. All right, looking at the situation, obviously we're going to be monitoring tonight. First to you, Skip. How serious is the situation in Iraq? It looks pretty bleak.
It is very bleak. If we don't take some action, I think the United States will have to take some action. If we don't do that quickly, we may very well have that situation that David was talking about with helicopters trying to evacuate our personnel from the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. And if we aren't able to do that, then our diplomatic personnel will be in grave danger.
David?
I agree completely. Right now, we're in a situation that is bordering on an emergency for our personnel in Baghdad. 40 miles is not very far, not very far at all, especially when your opposition is dissolving in front of your eyes as the Iraqi army is. So we could be looking at the next few hours and days as critical for America.
All right, Jordan, you'll keep everybody posted on Twitter. Is that going to be the best place right now?
Yeah, twitter.com/JordanSecula. We'll keep everybody updated.
All right, Jordan's going to be monitoring this. We'll be, of course, updating it on social media, too. Like our Facebook page, share it. It's very important. And sign this petition so the money doesn't go to these groups that are fighting us. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let me also tell you this, folks. We've had a great response the last couple months on our online fundraising for the ACLJ, which keeps us on the air and keeps us in the fight. This is another important month for us. And I want to say right now we're ahead, which is great, but we want to stay there. Support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at ACLJ.org with your tax-deductible gift. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
No reason to get excited. The thief kindly spoke. There are many among us.
President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.